Scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Luke chapter 1. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy in his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to thank you so much for your prayers in my problems with my back. I truly believe because, well, you know, like back problems are just kind of part of my life, that the power of prayer has brought me to where I am now, which is pain-free now. Yes, I'm just very excited, but it doesn't mean I've gotten crazy, you know, like I'm not doing the twist and shout yet, but just the shout. But I'm just very, very thankful for your care and your compassion during my time when I was struggling. So I wanted to talk just a little bit this morning about waiting, because Christmas is about waiting. We are waiting perhaps with anticipation. How many people have relatives coming? They're going to, oh my gosh, lots. So anticipating that. For some of us, it might be we're anticipating getting in the car and going to see someone along the way. Some of us are waiting a little anxiously. Perhaps we have a gift that we don't know if it's going to be quite right, or we don't know how relationships are going to work this time, or maybe we're just, you know, kind of concerned that someone's going to bring up politics. So we might be waiting a little bit anxiously. Some of us are waiting for Christmas with a bit of grief because of life changes. Perhaps there's an empty seat at the table, or something has happened that's troubling, news about health of a loved one. And so there can be a little bit of grief in our waiting. Advent is about waiting, and in the tradition of the church, we remember that it is about waiting and preparing for the birth of Christ, and it is also for us a time where we wait for the second coming of Christ, and we look for Christ to be in our lives. Now, some would say that the joy isn't going to come until that morning when we might hear Christmas bells playing on the radio, that we might gather around the tree with loved ones. But the truth is that joy can be in our waiting. And that's what we've been about in this Advent season, is finding joy. In the first Sunday, we talked about hopeful joy, that hope comes from perspective. And if we have the right perspective, we can have hope. And last week, I have to say my personal favorite is loving joy, and that's understanding how much God loves us, that God would truly love us enough to send his son. It is a kind of love that surpasses all of the bad news and nights that trouble us. Today, we talk about unabashed joy, fearless joy, bold joy in the face of whatever the news might be. And today, you heard the scripture from Mary. It's Mary's song, traditionally called the Magnificat. Magnificat's like Latin, and it comes from "My soul magnifies the Lord." It is a song of courageous and unabashed joy. Now, you remember the story of Mary. Mary was visited by an angel as she was minding her own business in her hometown of Nazareth, and the angel told her that she would be with child. Now, that might be a little bit of trouble today, but it's hard for us to comprehend how troubling that news should have been to a young woman who was betrothed but not married to a man. In those days, she could have actually been stoned for her unfaithfulness She could have been killed. And yet, as Mary heard the news, this was her reply, and this is from 138. I am the Lord's servant. May it be with me as you have said. And then the angel left. Now, what we read is that Mary then went with haste to see Elizabeth. Now, she went with haste to the town of Bethlehem, believe it or not, to see her cousin because the angel had said that this older woman was 6 months pregnant. And it looks like she hadn't even told Joseph yet that she was pregnant. And so the first thing she did, she went to see Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth saw her, 6 months pregnant, the baby in her womb, who would later be known as John the Baptist, leapt with joy as Mary came. It is a song of joy, a place of joy that happened even in a time that should have been very, very difficult. And so I want to talk about what happened next. Mary, all of a sudden, began to sing. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. This all happened, this song, before any nativity scene, any dark night and a child's birth in the town of Bethlehem, before the shepherds and the animals and the innkeeper that couldn't put them up, before the starry night and the angels singing, and it was even before the animals were talking and there was a little drummer boy. All of that had not happened at all, and yet she began to sing. Now, some people might say maybe she was in denial because of the practical things that were before her. She shouldn't have been singing. But I know, I trust that the reason that she sang was out of a bold, fearless, unabashed joy that filled her. Now, all of us have some way that we express our joy. For some people, and you can think about, like, when you're just filled with joy, how do you express it? For some people, it's laughter. You know, just kind of a bubbling laughter comes up. And for other people, it might be just acts of generosity or kindness. I just finished watching It's a Wonderful Life this weekend. And just, if you remember at the end of that movie, how George Bailey is filled with joy for simply being alive, and how he expresses that with shouting and hugging and running through the town. There's this great joy. But for some of us, we express our joy through singing. Is there anyone here that kind of starts to sing? Yeah, okay. My father, I knew that he was filled with joy when he would sing. Now, mostly it was Hank Williams tunes. And so that's why I know all of the words to, like, Hey, Hey, Good Looking and Jambalaya and Lovesick Blues. I mean, I know those because my dad in his high, clear tenor would sing those songs when he was filled with joy. Well, Mary was a singer. She was not tempted to be practical. She was not tempered by the people who would say, now there is a right way to do this, to go about having this bad news in her life. Why? Because there was a joy inside her that made her sing. Now, when people try to figure out the character of Mary, there might be something there about her being a little bit different. This is the nativity play from my vantage point last Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock service. At that service, we invite any child or teen who wants to dress up in a nativity costume, come and sit with their parents, and then come forward for a nativity play. If you have your grandchildren here this Christmas Eve, you might want to come to the 5 o'clock service and have an opportunity to participate in this. But the kids come forward, and I put this up here for you to remember the nativity plays that you might have been in as a child. So I'm going to take a survey here. So I want you to think back. For anyone who was kind of connected with the church when you were growing up, is there anyone here who played, for example, Angel Gabriel? Any angels? Okay, how about Mary? Any Marys? Oh, we got a Mary back there. Okay. Joseph? Okay, we've got a few Josephs. How about shepherds? Okay, shepherds, angels. I was an angel. Okay, animals. Anyone can remember playing the... Oh, okay, we had a few animals. All right. So, Virgin Media in the UK did a survey for this Christmas season. They surveyed 2,000 people, this would be in Britain, and asked them what position they played, what part they played in the nativity plays, and then they also asked them what their careers were, how much they made, and their satisfaction with life. Now, I'm not going to give this all to you, but it's Virgin Media, and you can look it up. You can find out, because it's got it all broke down, but I will tell you this. Mary was at the top. Mary ended up being the highest income, average income earner, believe it or not, and also had the highest job satisfaction rate at 92% were highly satisfied, the Marys. Now, Joseph was not far behind, and Joseph tended to be, so for you Joseph people, tended to be in financial careers. Gabriel was the next one, and Gabriel ended up being in marketing more than anything. And I have to admit that the shepherds and the angels did not fare very well. So the ox of the animals, the ox or the cow, was the highest earner of all animals. Sheep tended to go into healthcare, and angels into construction. So God bless the angel. That would be me. But I loved reading about that, but here's the good news. Is that whatever role we played as a child, whatever role we play in life now, we can play that role, we can live into that role with great joy. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the clues that Mary gives us about her joy, that we might own those clues too. So Mary sings, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary expected that God would do a new thing through her. Humanity was crying out for a Savior, and Mary would be part of God's gift to the world. And I wonder what she would have thought if she had known the whole story. That she would give birth in a stable, that they would have to flee to Egypt for fear of their young child's life, that they would grow up in Nazareth, and yet, as a young man, Jesus would leave. After baptism, he would adopt a new hometown called Capernaum and hardly see his mother at all. He would teach and preach and perform miracles, and in the end, be rejected by the religious leaders and the people who he had come to save. And according to the scriptures, he would go to his death and crucifixion, and his mother would be there to witness it. If she had known that, would she have still sung with joy? I believe that she would, because she had absolute confidence in God that new things were possible by God's power, and God would bring light to darkness. This Christmas, we have the opportunity ourselves to be filled with joy because we can expect that God will do new things in our lives. For some of us, we will be in places where there has been death or loss by broken relationship, and people will be missing from our celebrations. What we can do is be people of peace and hope in those difficult situations, proclaiming that Christ is present and living. For some of us, we will be welcoming new people to the table, new boyfriends or girlfriends, spouses, neighbors, perhaps even children. And in the midst of that, we can be the grace of Christ, being fully welcoming, being the people that God has called us to be. For some of us, it will come, those new things, in acts of charity. It will come when someone wants to talk about the political situation that's happening right now, and we will be people who will listen with grace and speak with grace, because God will do a new thing through us if we allow that to happen. I've had the opportunity to go to the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth several times. It is a large, beautiful church that was built in 1969 to honor the Annunciation of the angel who came to Mary when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And when that church was built, they invited nations from around the world to send a mural of Mary. And the murals came. And if you go to visit that church today, you will see murals from every nation. The Catholic Church has sent them from every nation. And they show Mary often in cultural context and even pictured with a different ethnicity to reflect the nation. And when I go there and I see these beautiful murals, I give thanks for the way that God has reached into every nation, and God has reached through Jesus Christ so many different people, doing a new thing in so many different lives. God is not done yet. God wants to be doing that for us as well. Here's another thing that Mary could sing for joy about, and that is that God's mercy extends to all people. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary sang a lyric of abundance rather than getting caught up in a myth of scarcity. She could have, at the sign of being pregnant, she could have just hid herself away. She could have said, all is lost. If she had a Facebook page, she could have taken a selfie with a frown and every day made posts of how horrible life is. But instead, she traveled and celebrated with her cousin, and she sang with joy because she understood the abundance that was coming. That those who were hungry would be fed, those who were poor would be lifted up, those who were oppressed would be set free. All generations would see the mercy of God. We can rejoice in that diversity of people that have experienced the abundance of God. And this is the truth, is that joy doesn't wait for the struggle to be over. Joy doesn't wait until peace extends around the world and everyone is singing kumbaya. Joy begins now. Joy leans in to what is possible, because abundance through God, abundant life, is possible, and it's what we're counting on. Finally, just one other thing that I love that Mary talks about is that Mary sings about God helping Israel, who has been crying for help. Joy is in God's actions. You can see it as we look at the Bible in the verbs. He has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered. He has brought down. He has lifted up. He has filled the hungry. He has sent the rich away empty. He is remembering those who are in need of mercy. God is active, and God is involved in surprising reversals in this life. If there's a status quo that oppresses people, God is at work in removing that. And so for those who are lost, God is perpetually seeking. For those who are down, God lifts. For those who are not listening, God speaks. God speaks through the cry of an infant in the night. God speaks through an outstretched healing hand. God speaks through I am the resurrection and the life. God speaks from the cross and says, all are forgiven. God speaks and acts today, and that fills us with joy. We are celebrating the 300th anniversary of Isaac Watts' poem, Joy to the World. And there is a verse, it's the third stanza in the poem, and it goes like this: no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Now, this verse is not often when popular singers sing Joy to the World, you're not going to hear them sing this verse. Part of it is it's kind of funny to sing a rollicky, far as the curse is found, far as the curse. It's kind of a weird kind of thing to be singing. But when we have an understanding of the joy that God brings, it makes all the sense in the world. Because God comes in the darkest places in our lives and brings the day. God mends what is broken and lifts us up. I love this from Romans 5:20. We're reminded, where sin increases, grace increases all the more. Jesus reaches in where there is no hope and offers blessings for all of us. This is a stained glass window that's in the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers, Georgia. And I love this. The artwork is called Theotokos, which means God bearer. And it is a picture of Mary with Jesus. But as you can see, he's kind of fully grown there. And so in this picture, we see Jesus incarnate in the flesh come to us. Jesus crucified, the one who died for us, and Jesus resurrected, the one who lives. Jesus is here for all of us and offers new life. What do we want for Christmas? We want, I don't know, peace around the world. We want a little rest. We want silence. We want some hope. Well, I'll tell you what we do have. We have a joy that cannot be stopped because Christ is everything for us. And so, here's your crazy challenge for this week. Are you ready? I want you to sing. Can you do it? All right. Oh, I see Vern going, I don't know. This is what I suggest, that you sing at home, that you sing in the car, that you sing when you're alone, and why not sing when someone else can hear you? You can do it. And use whatever kind of way that you get your Christmas music, whether it's through some kind of streaming or the radio or even, my goodness, CDs or records. Go ahead and put that music on and sing. And I would suggest that we sing for joy because God can do a new thing through us, that we sing lyrics of abundance because God will give what we need, and we sing trusting that God will move in this life. God has reached in with the tenderness and grace of a child, but we sing fearlessly and boldly with joy. And so, with that, I invite you to just take a moment to prayerfully sing as we sing about a rose that's blooming. Through the grace of God, all of life can be seen through the lens of joy. Not only the happy moments, but also the times of sorrow and difficulty. All that comes into our lives can be tempered and given new life through joy in the Lord. In this joy, we will find strength and we will find courage. Through the centuries, there have been symbols from the natural world that tell us the Christmas story. Evergreens, holly, roses, mistletoe. The herb rosemary was introduced into Christmas traditions in the Middle Ages. It garnished dishes at holiday feasts, and its branches were laid on the floor in churches and in homes. It was a symbol of the mother of Jesus, Mary, and because it is known as the herb of remembrance, it has been used as a symbol to remember Jesus' birth. Sometime this week, I invite you to find a way to cook with rosemary. Now, if you'd like, there are some recipes for a couple of ideas on what you might do with rosemary, and you'll find those on your way out. And as the rich smell of rosemary fills your home, remember the joy found in Jesus. So now as we move into a time of prayer, I invite you to consider a question in silence. What would you list in your Magnificat, your song of God's glory? And what is the source for your joy?
Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this season as we prepare to welcome Christ Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life, wonder beyond words, and for the world around us so filled with beauty and richness. We're grateful for the gift of a believing community that provides us with new ways to grow and use our talents. We thank you for church leadership as they provide us with best plans for serving you in our missions and our activities. In the bustle of this busy season, God, help us to seek you out and to find moments of solitude so the season doesn't rush by too fast, so that we do not miss the message. And help us to share the blessing of the season so others may come to know you as well. We know, God, that for some, this is not a completely joyous time, and we pray for help in recognizing their needs, those who are isolated, ill, unloved, those who struggle every day to make ends meet. We pray for those who are estranged from family and community. We also pray for all people trying to provide support systems for those in stressful situations. We know that sometimes caregivers, counselors, and healthcare workers, families are stretched pretty thin. So maybe, God, if you gave us a little nudge, we would recognize these opportunities a little faster and give encouragement and share your love with them. It's the season of waiting and joy, but please help us to build ourselves a quiet little space just to be, so that we can hear you when you speak. And God, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I failed to mention also to please take note of the prayer quilts. Please tie a knot and share a prayer on your way out.